Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We appreciate the company. We got fun things lined up for you in this hour. We're going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. We'll touch on some other fun topics. Baby names that grandparents don't like. All of that coming up. All of it. But it's a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Buenos dias y bienvenidos a la cocina abierta en WFHR.
Wow, Beth, I didn't know you were bilingual.
I'm really not. But I remember enough from high school to know that today is Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May. And it's a day filled with food, fun, and fiesta.
Yay, Mexican food. Tacos it is, everybody.
Actually, James, although tacos and margaritas are what most people have come to associate with the holiday, it's really not as culturally accurate as you might think.
That is correct. Even the reason for celebrating, like James was mentioning earlier, Cinco de Mayo has gotten a bit skewed throughout the years. Contrary to popular belief, of course, it's not Mexican Independence Day, which is actually September 16th. Today actually celebrates the Mexican victory at the Battle of Puebla during the Second Franco-Mexican War, which came after Mexico's independence from Spain, the Mexican-American War, and the Mexican Civil War.
That's right. That's a lot of wars.
That's a lot of wars going on.
According to Britannica.com, when in 1861, Mexico declared a temporary moratorium on the repayment of foreign debts, English, Spanish, and French troops invaded the country. By April 1862, the English and Spanish had withdrawn, but the French, with the support of wealthy landowners, remained in an attempt to establish a monarchy under Maximilian of Austria and to curb U.S. power in North America. On May 5th, 1862, a poorly equipped mestizo. Thank you, mestizo. Eventually, I'll be able to learn to read. It's hard when it's differently.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, I know. Tough. I know. People of mixed indigenous and European extraction. So that's what's mestizo.
There you go.
Means and Zapotec force under the command of General Ignacio Zaragoza defeated French troops at the Battle of Puebla, southeast of Mexico City. So that's where it's located. It's about 1,000 French troops were killed.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Although the fighting continued and the French were not driven out for another 5 years, the victory at Puebla became a symbol of Mexican resistance to foreign domination. The city, which was later renamed Puebla de Zaragoza, is the site of a museum devoted to the battle. And this is what I think is so cool. The battlefield itself is maintained as a park.
Oh, that is really cool. The article goes on to say, the day is celebrated in the state of Puebla with parades, speeches, and reenactments for the 1862 battle, though it is not much noticed in most of the rest of the country. In the mid-20th century United States, the celebration of Cinco de Mayo became among Mexican immigrants and those of Mexican descent a way of encouraging pride in their Mexican heritage. U.S. cities, with notable Cinco de Mayo festivities include, of course, Los Angeles, Denver, and Washington, D.C.
That's right. Britannica.com has this to say about the way the day is celebrated. As in Puebla, many people in the United States enjoy the holiday by attending parades that feature mariachi bands, dancers in traditional Mexican clothing, and floats decorated in colors of the Mexican flag, which are green, white, and red. Mm-hmm. Other events include lucha libre, which is Mexican wrestling matches.
Oh, yeah.
Eating Mexican food is also a highlight of many celebrations. Favorites among the festivals that you see now happen to be the guacamole, tacos, churros, and mole poblano, which is a Puebla specialty made with mole sauce, bitter chocolate, and pepitas, which are pumpkin seeds.
Mm.
Critics have observed that the enthusiasm for this particular holiday celebration did not take off with a broader non-Hispanic demographic until it was explicitly linked with the promotion of Mexican alcoholic beverages, such as tequila, margaritas, and Mexican beer.
Mm.
Critics have also noted that many U.S. festivities by non-Hispanic people tend to both perpetuate negative stereotypes of Mexicans and promote excessive drinking.
Kind of like St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a familiar phrase to most people out there by now of cultural appropriation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And right. I think of that a lot. Now, where I was growing up, there was, I brought this up earlier, it wasn't uncommon to see a Puerto Rican family celebrating Cinco de Mayo mm-hmm. or a Cuban family celebrating it.
Right.
It was in part because there wasn't a whole lot of opportunities for Latinos to be able to celebrate here in the States and everything,
right.
mm-hmm. so any opportunity, you're going to take it.
Right.
One of the things that I'm proud of Chicago about is certainly its ability to have so many cultures in one area. Mm-hmm. And there is a parade almost every other day because everybody got their parade.
That's right. It's so cool. Yeah.
And it's kind of made this a little bit more settled over the years mm-hmm. where it is mostly Mexicans celebrating it. But one thing that I think is noteworthy too about it is something you touched on a little bit, Beth, and has been brought up a little already, of the popularity of this holiday in Mexico
right.
and where it ranks. And looking at a lot of surveys and talking to some friends of mine and everything, that even some friends that have family still in Mexico, this would not even be considered in the top five.
No.
Interestingly enough, yeah.
There.
Right.
You've got their own Independence Day in Mexico, mm-hmm. or the Grito de Dolores, or Cry of Dolores, that is celebrated, Dia de Muertos, or Day of the Dead, which
right.
is another popular one.
Very popular,
States.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Their Holy Week, there's a number of them there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of religious holidays that certainly have a bit more, if I can say, more meaning. I don't want to say more meaningful, but more meaning there. Than
right.
they might hear
right.
with the way we treat religion in this country, where we're open to all religions mm-hmm. and everything. I'm not saying they're not there, but they're a little bit more centered there.
Right.
It's just noteworthy in all context, I think, for all of this. And when we talk about cultural appropriation, one of the things that does this is people not being informed. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the majority of this that happens is, well, I want to really hurt this creed or this race
right.
or something, so I'm going to do something to offend them.
Right.
I'm not trying to give too much grace here, but I do think that more times, I'm not talking about blackface. That's obviously
right, yes.
you know, somebody just go ahead and just being a jerk and
right.
Let me show you how racist I am. But I think some of this is really done with true good intent in some ways.
Mm-hmm. But I think along those lines is, if you think about the way Mexicans have been portrayed in theater and movies and things like
right.
that, it is that stereotypical, and I think the culture picked up on that. What I loved about learning about this holiday is that it was a celebration of resistance to mm-hmm. power. And what does that say about our culture in these days in our world, when it's more about protecting each other than it is mm-hmm. about perpetuating a stereotype?
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, well, if you're looking for an authentic way then to celebrate this holiday, Smithsonian Magazine's website, that's what you pay me for. That's right. Let's try this again. Take two. If you are looking for a more authentic way to celebrate, Smithsonian Magazine's website, smithsonianmag.com, has this to share. What America's Cinco de Mayo misses in the traditional food of Mexico, named to the UNESCO representative list of the intangible cultural heritage, a recognition given only to one other cuisine, the French cuisine.
Ooh.
The honor has nothing to do with Americanized takes on Mexican cuisine, such as nachos smothered in refried beans, cheese whiz, and jalapenos. Every time Taco Bell has tried to open up in Mexico, it's faced certain failure because no one there will eat it.
Why would they? Why on earth would they do that?
Yeah.
What makes traditional Mexican fare worthy of such a distinction? You won't find hard shell tacos stuffed with bland ground beef and topped with iceberg lettuce and cheddar, but you will find lamb barbacoa that has been smoked underground in banana leaves, or carnitas topped with queso fresco, pickled onions, and homemade salsa verde, wrapped in a warm homemade corn tortilla that has been ever so lightly heated on a comal. The Puebla just so happens to be considered by many, including Rick Bayless and Mark Bittman, as the gastronomic capital of Mexico.
Oh, I'm so hungry right now. Oh, God, that sounds so delicious. I know that I haven't had a chance to sample much authentic Mexican food, but it all sounds so good. Oh, my Lord. Oh, can't wait.
And to get the true Mexican food rather than the Americanized version of it to
exactly.
know what you're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So the article from Smithsonian Magazine, what to really eat on Cinco de Mayo, put down the margaritas and tacos, pick up a chalupa.
Ooh.
Gives three famous dishes from Puebla, the city where all of this takes place, to try this Cinco de Mayo if you would like to celebrate with the day's tradition in mind. All right, so the first is mole poblano. Mole is a sauce made from ground-up ingredients that comes in all colors and consistencies, but the thick, dark mole poblano has made its mark on the gastronomic world. Legend has it that mole poblano was first created in the kitchen of Santa Rosa Convent in Puebla by Sor Andrea de la Ascension in the late 17th century. So that's back in the 1600s.
Yep.
Wow.
According to the theology of food, I love this, the theology of food, eating, and the Eucharist,
nice.
Sor Andrea de la
Asuncion.
I got there, Asuncion, is said to have prepared it for Don Tomas Antonio de la Seda y Aragon, the new viceroy of Spain. The dish is the ultimate combination of old and new world ingredients and cooking practices. This sauce can be somewhat daunting due to the laundry list of ingredients and various complex techniques involved. But after one taste of this mole, all the roasting and toasting will be worth it. My recommendation is to try to find a Mexican restaurant that's a true authentic restaurant and see if you can find mole poblano to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second is chalupas. Chalupas, an iconic poblano street food, bear a resemblance to tostadas and are perfect antojito for any Cinco de Mayo celebration. To put it simply, chalupas are fried, thick tortillas topped with salsa, shredded meat, chopped onions, and sometimes queso fresco.
Mm. Oh.
I know, getting hungry. There's a third. The third is chiles en nogada. Chiles en nogada is an iconic dish of Mexico. The dish signifies Mexico's independence and is made up of the colors of the Mexican flag, red, white, and green. The flavors are just as colorful as the ingredients. The sweet, savory, picadillo-stuffed poblano pepper, dipped in egg batter, fried and topped with a rich walnut sauce, pomegranate seeds, and parsley is something you will not regret trying. Though it is more traditionally made for Mexico Independence Day, which is on September 16th, it is one of Puebla's most cherished dishes.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Real as a side note, I'm trying to think with our own Independence Day, which is, of course, where some of the conversation goes mm-hmm. today with the you know misunderstanding mm-hmm. of the
right.
day. But when they're talking about celebrating a day and having a food associated with it, and I love the I've heard about this. I've never heard mm-hmm. anybody break the dish down before, but mm-hmm. I've known of this dish my whole life,
mm-hmm.
and I never thought about or realized that they use the Mexican flag colors in the dish.
That's so cool.
I never heard that explained before. I thought that's really cool. But trying to think for our own Independence Day, the 4th of July, hot dogs, hamburgers, these are kind of the traditions. Mm-hmm. We need a little something blue to throw in there. We got the red with the ketchup. You
okay.
got the white with the bun. So red, white, we need a blue. What about blue cheese?
Blue cheese would make more sense.
Yeah.
Not blueberries. That wouldn't work.
Brats.
See, now that would work.
Need a little blue in there.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
Such fun meals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These are really good ones.
Well, yes. And if you think about it, most of our holidays do have some type of a dish associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
You say Thanksgiving, automatically,
so right.
we've got turkey in
right?
mind.
Mm-hmm.
You say Easter, boom, people think ham.
Right.
So why wouldn't Cinco de Mayo have a food that once you say that holiday, that's what comes to mind? Unfortunately for us, it's that generic American tacos
yeah.
and margaritas.
Stuff, right? Yeah.
This is a great way to dive in a little bit more and learn a little bit more about the culture authentically and some of the food that's there, because if you can find authentic Mexican food, it is beyond belief.
And real quick, I don't want this to sound defensive or anything, but I will say that we could all, as a country, be better about you know some of these things that we do and some of that. The other countries treat us very similar.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a, quote, American-style restaurant in another country and the food right. they're serving
yep.
and stuff and everything, it's not, the other countries do it too.
Right, yeah, it's true.
Just
it's
to
true.
Be fair,
yeah.
all countries could be better about this.
Right, right.
Well, we're a place that loves to celebrate food, and much like we have celebrated Cinco de Mayo, we'd like to celebrate your business as a sponsor of The Kitchens Open. So as a sponsor, we will highlight your business during the segment and in our newsletter. We would also consider sharing an interview with you or broadcasting live from your business. These are all options.
If you're interested in learning more about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with the recently returned Pam. She will put you in touch with Ashley and to work out all the details.
She'll put, darn it. Oh, that bumper again. Oh, dang it. Line. That number again is 715-424-1300. 715-424-1300.
With that, we will close the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Excellent.
One, Beth. Nicely done. And thank you for being so brave about that. Choosing that to write.
Just jumping
well
right in.
Yeah. Just well done. Well done. We'll have another edition of The Kitchens Open for you next Monday at 10 o'clock. Be sure to join us for it, everybody. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to have our monthly veterans update. We got Tom coming
Tom
in for that.
Coming in. Yeah.
Coming up here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got James, Melissa, Seth with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Every month we begin the month, the first Monday we have of the month, with our monthly veterans update with our good friend Tom Heiser. Tom is with us right now. Always good to see you, sir. Thanks a lot for being here.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Want to let Melissa know Tom does have his headphones on so he can hear you, Mel.
Perfect.
Tom, let's dive right in because we got a lot to talk about for the month of May.
Oh, sure do it. Like today is Cinco de Mayo Day. I heard, talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a meal out at the VFW, Cinco de Mayo Luncheon, $8 a plate. And from what I've heard, I may just have to be the cook for noon and take it home.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It's good stuff.
Okay. And Wednesday, World War II, Germany surrenders 1945. So big day.
Big day.
And also on that day, three of us are going to Assumption High School where we talk to the history students there.
Oh, very cool.
We got a couple of different classes, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm. It's a day that doesn't get talked about enough. That's so encouraging and cool to hear, Tom. That's awesome.
And what's interesting is it's kind of sad, but we're ancient history.
You're right.
It's been a while.
It's part of the reason that's so great that you guys are doing that. You and other volunteers are doing that.
And then on Thursday, May 8th, is Military Spouses Day. Now, something you got to remember to think about is I've interviewed career military people, their spouses. Now, in your military career, you take off and go to sea for a year,
right.
Go to a foreign country for a year. They're raising the family.
Yeah.
And now dad comes home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's really tough on the spouses.
Mm-hmm. Growing up, heard a lot of stories of my grandmothers, both of them individually with their husbands, and them going off to war and holding down the fort and the way that was. And that you hear me use that term very often. It comes from my grandmothers who did this for both of their husbands when they went off to World War II, World War II and the Korean War and fought in both of those times. And we try to highlight this whenever we can. We don't talk nearly enough about our current soldiers or our VFW members, but we certainly don't talk nearly enough about our military spouses, and really they should be brought up in the same breath with as we all the others we mentioned.
They're actually, I would actually consider them a veteran because they're taking
right.
They're 100%. They're serving while their spouse is serving.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's not just wives.
Yes.
No.
There are.
It's a key part of
in
this.
The vet.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well said, Tom.
And our BBA chapter meeting is also on Thursday, May 8th. We start those at 5. Rudolph American Legion starts at 7 on the same night, Thursday, the May 8th. And the 13th, Navy Nurse Corps established was in 1908.
Wow.
That's an interesting one to read up on, everybody, if you don't know the history
of that.
Realize
it was that long. Wow.
Yeah. World War I was when?
Mm. Yeah, not until 1916.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Whole war, yeah, to happen, Phil.
Heroes Cafe is on Wednesday, May 14th, starting at 7:30. If you're there at 7:35, you're behind.
You're going to miss some good gossip. You're going to miss some good talk.
Oh, yeah. World problems unsolved. American Legion Post meets on Wednesday the 14th. And also on Wednesday the 14th is the Auburndale High School has a duck trip.
Yeah.
To the Dells for veterans. And this morning we met with a couple other ones, and they're all excited about going.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah. I've been on those things about three or four times in my life. They're just as exciting every time. I love being on those ducks. It's a lot of fun. Oh,
yeah. You know, all of a sudden the road ends.
Yeah.
Splash.
Yeah. Oh, it hits you every time.
It's not a bad idea to wear a raincoat.
Exactly. Yeah, rain or shine. The VFW Post meeting is on Thursday, May 15th, and that starts at 6. And on the 15th, it was Women's Army Corps came into being in 1942. So, and then
that's another good one. Yeah.
May 16th is Armed Forces Day. And on Saturday, May 17th, if you have the opportunity, we're putting the flags out at the cemeteries on the different graves for Memorial Day. Everybody can help. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a veteran. Community can come out and help. We have Boy Scouts. We have Girl Scouts. We have different organizations that come out. And it's greatly appreciated because we do a lot of cemeteries. Most every cemetery in Wood County, you know, locally, we take care of the Rapids area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of cemeteries.
So last month when you were in, Tom, I was talking to my father a little bit about this, and my father has a sore spot in his history that he did not get to fight for our country like his dad did and his brother did, and it was something that has always stuck with him. And I've talked to him about this a lot because he's of the time when his buddies were all drafted and he wasn't for Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits with this guilt and he feels on it and stuff. And one of the things that he does is try to be a part of events like that, of flag ceremonies and those things, of ways to give back, of showing respect, of that. I think that there's others that deal with that, that type of guilt, for lack of a better word. And I think that this is one of the ways that, I'm not saying that it's going to make everything all better, but it's a way of giving back. It's a way of showing where you, where your heart is in these things.
Right. It's a respect situation. We have family members of deceased veterans that come out and help. And if they go to their respective veterans, great. That's fine. Great. But come on, it's fellowship also.
Right, exactly.
That's a key word.
Well, there was
here.
A great group of people that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and it's a good place to get interviews.
Yes. So what are the details on that, Tom? May 17th, it's a Saturday. What time are we meeting?
Okay, we're meeting at 10 o'clock at Forest Hill Cemetery by the mausoleum. If you get out there about 9:30, you know, people start coming in, and you'll be given a packet of flags. And what some people have done is they'll bring a backpack, and they'll put like two packets.
Oh, yeah.
Or a wagon.
Yeah.
You know,
something you can tow along behind you because that's helpful.
Right, and then you can put them out, and then we'll have people around with pickup trucks that got the flags in back and go from there. But it's a lot of it's interesting. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it's a good excuse to get outside.
Yeah, especially. 100%. Looks like the weather's going to continue to be nice, too. So
yeah,
I
got
to look forward to
too.
Yeah, so you talk to your weather people on this one.
We'll do.
That's
we'll
on Saturday, May 17th.
Get on that.
Brittany!
We'll get on that.
And on Monday, May 19th, Honor Flight 52 returns.
Okay.
Ooh,
That is very emotional also. You see the vets coming back and they're crying.
Yeah.
And you ask their guardian, how was it? And they're crying.
Yeah.
If you have the opportunity, it's up at CWA, you know, up in Mosinee. And they usually get back roughly, depending on weather. Flights and everything like that. They're usually back about 10. So if you get there about 9 and bring a lawn chair.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
And there's food available for a purchase. And on Tuesday, May 20th, we go to Lincoln High School. And talk to the kids there, and it's always fun, you know, the questions they ask.
Especially high schoolers, yes.
Yeah, you know, so
very
it's,
nice.
It's a lot of fun. And on May 21st, Red Cross was founded in 1881.
Wow.
So that's been around for a while.
That's cool.
And on the 22nd of May is National Maritime Day. And on Saturday, May 24th, brat fry.
Brat fry. Yes.
West Grand IGA.
Yep.
Best brats you're going to get all year.
That's right.
Exactly. And that is, we've got a guy that does the cooking. We don't give out his secret ingredient for the water, for the moisture, the liquid that it's contained. Held in. We'll go with that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, don't give out secrets like that. And then on Monday the 26th is Memorial Day ceremony out at Forest Hill Cemetery, and that starts at 11.
Okay.
And that's open to the public.
Okay. Yep.
You know, this is not just veteran stuff. This is an annual event, and we rotate the veterans organization that does the presentation.
Right.
This year it's the Vietnam veterans are in charge of it. So next year it'll be somebody else. So we always have a different program going
out there.
And then Tuesday, May 27th, if you didn't get your brats, come on out for a steak feed at the VFW post.
Yeah.
From 4:30 to 7.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can actually do both.
I'd say do both. Don't take any chances. Do both. Do both.
Absolutely.
And then the 28th is the Heroes Cafe at Crossview Church again. And then Friday, June 6th, we're going a little bit ahead, D-Day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
another,
right.
No, another
1944. Mm-hmm. And there, I know a couple have passed, but there were some D-Day veterans here in Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
What's really interesting is there's heroes standing in line at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, nobody brags about it, but there were a couple of very good people in Rapids that were at D-Day.
It's a great note, Tom. Appreciate that. Yeah, and always appreciate the time from you and all the work you do putting not only on this, but for the audience to know behind the scenes, Tom is always getting us updates on veteran affairs and updates to Melissa and I and to Pam. Really appreciate all that extra work you do here, Tom. And we really got to double your paycheck around it. Oh, that's right. Tom does this out of the genuineness of his heart and his care for our veterans in this field. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for this.
So now I got to pay you $5 instead of the
That's right. Yeah.
And we're doubling
it. That right there. Off air. We'll talk about this, Tom. Off air. Okay. Appreciate you, sir. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, getting the information out there.
Melissa, Seth, and I will be back. We'll talk a little entertainment and some more fun when we get back after our news, sports, and partner break here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope y'all are having a great day out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to talk some entertainment before we wrap up the show. We'll get into some of our other topics we're going to do later in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Touch on some of those and everything. We'll get into some fun. Seth, this grandparent one I got to get into. we got to get into this top baby names hated by grandparents.
Nice.
That one has to be brought up by us.
Love it.
It's our kind of topic.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to take some time talking about some local theater in our area, both that wrapped up and future to come.
Yes.
But let's talk, you know, we are the home of Dolly Parton news, of course. So we wanted to touch on some news from Dolly, because she recently sat down with the Today Show and talked about the grief she feels over the loss of her husband of nearly 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, she said, "I loved him since I was 18 years old. It's a big adjustment. Just trying to change patterns and habits. I'll do fine. I'm very involved with my work, and that's been the best thing that could ever have happened to me. But I'll always miss him, of course, and I'll always love him. He was a great partner." The host went on to say how they were grieving with her and that their love story has been an inspiration to everyone. Yeah. Dolly said, quote, "I am so thankful. I got so many letters, flowers from all over the world. Yeah. I had no idea Carl Dean was so famous."
Well, because he tried so hard not to be.
Right.
Exactly. I mean...
Now, obviously, I'm not doing her justice with my voice, because Dolly, part of what is great about her quotes is hearing her voice along with it. But I really do encourage you to check this interview because of the infliction she puts in these ways she says these things. And when she says, "I had no idea Carl Dean was so famous," I don't know. She's a great actor. Maybe she's acting, but that's this woman is so genuine and so real with things that it just really it really hits home to you what this man meant to her. And really, not I use the term bubble all the time with, oh, this person lives in a bubble, this person lives in a bubble, or that, and there. I'm using this more of a sheltering that these two did, that they understood earlier than most. Okay, our lives are not ours anymore.
Right.
Our personal lives are not ours anymore. For better or worse, whether it's fair or not, we're going to be out there in the public. So we're going to plan this out. And what we're going to do is, I'm staying behind the scenes. And I'm going to do my best to that. And it's going to be about you. And we're going to put you out there.
Yeah, he's going to be the support. Yep.
What of all the trailblazing things, of all the things we talk about with Dolly Parton and everything, I don't know that this has ever been credited to her of giving the blueprint, really, of how to do this.
Seriously.
like that's incredible when you think about it. Like, I understand it's a very different world back then because of social media and all these things. Don't miss the mark here, everybody. It wasn't better back then. It was just, it was different.
Exactly.
Back then, you got people going into your garbage. back then. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen now, but they don't have to do it as much now. And and to be fair, some of these people are above this, so they won't do that anymore. I love the idea of you're in the scum business, and you have this integrity. All
but
of
I won't
sudden.
Do that.
You'll hound somebody for days and weeks staying outside of their apartment, but now you won't go in their garbage.
Okay? Right.
That's the line for you. All of this being said, it really was the blueprint for many, many families going forward, living in that world.
Well, the fact that they survived so many ups and downs of just the career of a famous person, you know, Dolly had her ups and downs like everybody else, right? That, you know, there's, and it has to be said, when you get to a certain amount of fame and fortune, temptation is around you all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Drugs. Mm-hmm. Alcohol, people, you know, that you might be attracted to, that kind of thing. To them, to have a marriage like theirs, whether all of these, you know, all of this stuff, and the fact that it's so obvious that they were so much in love for all those almost 60 years. Mm-hmm. It's just, honestly, one of the most remarkable stories of all these remarkable stories about Dolly Parton. That's got to be one of them.
That's the top one for me.
Yeah.
Well, a second.
Maybe.
A second. Her personal story and where she came from,
right,
of course.
And using her talent, right?
That's, for me, the second most amazing thing and most noted story. I encourage everybody to check out her, what she did, the song. You can read her tribute to him. It's If You Hadn't Been There. It's a beautiful song. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful
it's
song.
It's nice.
You really hear it in her voice, too, that's there. One of the interesting things with Dolly, I'll say, listening to old Dolly and new, her voice hasn't changed that much, but as it's gotten older, I would make an argument it has gotten more unique and stronger. Somehow.
It could very well be.
Somehow. I don't know how, but somehow it has. Like, you hear her infliction on words a little bit more,
inflection.
And her later.
Yep.
And thank you, Melissa. I want to get that right. I appreciate it. As she gets older, and as a songwriter, getting even stronger and more to the point more so, and getting away from my idioms and metaphors and stuff more, and it being more about what she's trying to say and really getting it through.
Evolving, changing, staying with it. I think
she's fine-tuned her instrument.
Isn't that cool?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, so many artists just sit back on their one hit or something like that. And here she is at this age. She's still working at the craft.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And getting to that. Like you're saying about her voice, I'm sure she's smart enough to find out, you know, this works better for my voice now. So this is what I'm going to do. And that's just brilliant.
Yeah. Reunited and it feels so good. I'm just trying to get into the next topic here. Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock are back at it. They will co-star in a romantic thriller. It does not have a title yet, but they are back together again, as they have in a couple of movies. Keanu and Sandra first were together, of course, in Speed in 1994, and then The Lake House in 2006.
I forgot about that one. I think a lot of people did.
I would recommend that movie, if anything, for the house.
Really?
Andrew Lloyd Webber house they use for that.
Oh,
movie.
Really? Oh, yes, see, now that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
that, now Seth's in.
Yeah, I know. That's neat.
Honestly, it was what got, the person I was dating at the time wanted to see it. I got more into the movie than she did.
Okay.
Nice. There's something about that combination. They are really, really good together.
They are good together. Yeah, I agree. And
one of the things that never gets talked about a great actress, especially somebody like Sandra Bullock, look at all the people she's worked with, and then think about you when you've seen them in other places. She brings up everybody she works with.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
She rises the boat. Mm-hmm. She did this especially in the Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, okay.
Where she plays Catwoman. Nobody gives her any credit for that. Everybody wants a shred. Oh, no, that's Anne Hathaway, I'm thinking.
Sorry, yeah.
But Sandra Bullock, I'm making a joke here, but Sandra Bullock and Anne Hathaway have dealt with very similar things where I don't understand. I don't think it's necessarily public knowledge, but behind the scenes, I hear a lot of actresses talk trash about these two. And I have nothing to base any of this on. I don't know where it comes from because they're both so dang good. And if done so much to try to raise women in the industry. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, people might not realize this. Sandra Bullock is one of the people who have fought to where we are now with, Daniel Craig's going to get this paycheck. Guess who's getting the same paycheck? Sandra Bullock. It's not that, you know, even though Sandra Bullock used to not get that, now it's the change. She worked on a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's very cool.
I look forward to seeing that, whatever they do together.
I would, too. I'd like to watch it.
They're really, really good together. Actually, I would make the argument should do more together.
Yeah. Two of my favorite actors really.
Mm. That's cool. That's nice. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take some time to talk about local theater as what we like to do in the entertainment segment. And before we get too far ahead, I want to rewind a little bit to Lincoln High School's The Lightning Thief.
Mm. Oh, I heard such great things. How did Roan do?
Well, the whole show, I want to say, by the looks of it, went fabulously from all of my sources. Yes, my son, of course, was in it as well. The first year, they allowed 8th graders to participate in the high school musical. And there were a handful of them there, and they all did a fabulous job. I do have to shout out one thing for those of you who did see it. The farmer who came out on the tractor, that was my son, and he was hilarious. I must say that. And that's not just me saying that. It was a lot of people. The way he played it was very, very funny. So it was very awesome. Exciting him to have, you know, that get this opportunity at such mm-hmm. a young age to be able to participate in this. It was so cool. And all the kids did a great job. Lots of great people were there, lots of support. And man, that cast, they were tight. I mean, just seeing the way they said goodbye to Roan when I picked him up yesterday after they had done strike and all that stuff, it was very cool to see. I'm very proud of him and everyone that was involved. Good job, guys. Wonderful. It was great. Yeah.
And a big thank you to everybody in the community that showed up and came to the show and everything. Mm-hmm. We appreciate them. Certainly appreciate the art directors, the you know, Lincoln High School's art department and music department and everybody involved.
All that are participating in that, yep.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool.
Good stuff.
Man, I was just hit over the head with a bunch of nostalgia when you were talking about it.
I was asking him yesterday, I was like, you know, after he was in, how do you feel? Oh, I feel a little sad, but he just realized they've been doing this for 2 months. I mean, they've been rehearsing for 2 months, and now all of a sudden, he's done! what do I do now?
And now that theater family you just created, and you don't
exactly.
get to see them every day anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a,
it's bittersweet.
Happy, sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More on that in a moment. Want to encourage everybody to make plans this weekend to check out Don Quixote de la Center, the next play being put on by our friends at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater.
Yes, indeed.
We got to hang out with our good friend, our old friend, Susan Egren, a little bit.
The woman responsible for us, actually. Yep. We will say that.
Director's Playhouse, she was a guest spotted us, was sat in with us on and everything. Encourage you to check out that episode, especially to hear not only the great depth of the explaining what the play is about and everything, Seth, but something really cool that they're going to be doing after the final show.
On Sunday, they have their matinee at 2 o'clock, and they're going to be bringing in some health professionals, by the way, to talk about Alzheimer's and dementia, which is play a key role in this whole plot. It takes place in an Alzheimer's, a memory home or whatever they call it. I can't remember off the top of my head. But a place where people who are suffering from those, where they live out the rest of their lives. And that's where the whole premise of the play comes from. One of the reasons why Susan wanted to do it. So they're going to be bringing some people in for a question and answer panel. Thank you. A panel. After the final show on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Also, by the way, if you are a health professional that works with memory care, that's the word I was looking for, with memory care and or anything involved in that, you get in for free.
Yeah.
You just need to show your medical, your ID that proves that you are one, and you get in for free, which is another very cool thing. So
Oh, that's great. I'm glad they're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think about it, everybody. You don't have to know much about theater and local theater or community theater to know that every penny counts and you need every penny you
that's
can
right.
get. The fact that they're giving up seats for this is really cool.
That's a very noteworthy. Very cool. That's what community theater, I think, is really all about.
Support the good work they're doing and some great performers. Such a good cast. CWAC.org. Get over there, get your tickets, everybody. And while you're at getting theater tickets, I encourage you to get some for this weekend, especially whether you've seen Noises Off or not, whether you went to every show or not. You want to show up for everyone because there are no reruns, and everyone with a farce is going to be unique and fun.
That's right.
It is, and there's so many props. There's so much action in this play. I mean, my actors have been saying, I've already lost like 10 pounds. They do so much running around.
Another reason to join theater. Weight loss program if you need it, right?
Program.
We have missed a complete,
layer of this, man.
We should have been selling this the whole time. Tomorrow, Melissa's going to be co-hosting with me on the morning show, and we'll want to get into a little bit more of what this week is like, not just for the audience, but for people that may be thinking about doing theater, and to get an idea of what this is. Hey, what are these off days like and everything? we'll touch on that with Melissa when we talk about it tomorrow.
I'm planning on seeing it this weekend. I will be bringing my notebook and critiquing everything she did wrong. So
excellent.
we're encouraging every single person out there to be a part of
Absolutely.
This show. Get on down there and check out Noises Off, everybody. This is a perfect cast. They've got an amazing, amazing team behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Working so hard on this mm-hmm. one. Support local theater and have a great time. Get some food beforehand, maybe. Come on down.
Yep.
Enjoy yourself, whether it's this Thursday at 7 or Friday at 7 or Saturday when everything wraps up at the 2 o'clock matinee.
Mm-hmm.
Just be ready to laugh because it's yes. funny.
Yeah.
Those sides ready. They'll be splitting.
I was going to say, you might want to, you know, save the cummerbund or any yeah, of those right. things, you know, because your sides are going to be laughing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one. Get your tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. We will take our final time out of the show, come back and talk about our schedule, some good stories of the day, and plenty more coming up on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day.
We hope you had as much fun as we did, everybody. This has been a blast. Good to have the team back together.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you back, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I have to talk to Seth.
I tried to get in between you two as much as I could.
Got
to
earn your pay somehow.
We got a couple of notes we want to get to with our schedule here and talking about the day ahead. I want to remind everybody that on 105.5 WIRI, I'll be live to direct today from 4 to 5 with Playmakers.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Tune in. Call in.
Big thank you to Quality Post Printing and Family Natural Foods. We appreciate them as much as our listeners out there joining us over at our mm-hmm. new digs, over at our new uniform and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Please call in. Please. It's the same as it's always been, 715-424-2600, just yep. like you would call into our show right here and everything. Yep. So I'm looking forward to talking with you a little bit later. Solo show today, so just me get to hang out with. And I'm not alone. Don't feel bad. I got all of you to hang out with. So
that's
it's
right.
going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we'll have our new Rapids report lined up for you tomorrow. We'll be talking more about that then mm-hmm. and let you know who's got we got lined up for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting into a couple of other things. Just a reminder to everybody out there that our city has adopted No Mow May. There are city designated areas that have, as far as public, you know, mm-hmm. land, and of course, a lot of neighbors and a lot of people out there are going to be doing this.
Yep.
Give each other grace, whether you are celebrating it or not.
Yes.
I encourage people to be supportive about this on either way.
Yeah.
If your neighbor is letting their lawn grow, be thankful to them because they're helping out all land.
Mm-hmm.
If your neighbor is cutting their lawn, don't judge them. That is their choice. It is their lawn.
Right.
The way this works is, like, this is all about the pollinators, not about us.
Why? It sounds like, James, that would be the freedom of choice.
Yes.
Hey,
in our community.
Isn't that
a nice thing to have? Mm-hmm. Freedom of choice?
And then there's also the option of slow-mo.
Yeah,
where you
that's
don't
true.
Necessarily, you know, just let it go wild the entire month. You mm-hmm. can just let it be a little bit longer. Set your deck all the way up as high as it goes and just cut off the tops of the grass.
Yeah.
Because then the natural things are still growing in there, the food that their pollinators need, and it actually makes your grass healthier, more drought resistant.
I have to say, I don't know anybody who has ever loved their lawn more than my father. Growing up in the city, they never had a lawn growing up. And even with my mom, it took them 20-some years before they had their own home or anything right. like that. And when he finally got a lawn, oh, it's so manicured. He goes so heavy on it, except for this month. Now, he started doing this for my mom, but he heard an interview with Rachel and I some years back, and now he's all for it. He does do a little bit of what Melissa was talking about with the slow-mo and some mm-hmm. of that, but I cannot tell you how impressed I am with him that he resists cool. the urge for 4 weeks to not go out there and break his back, because that's what we're asking you to do, basically,
yeah.
is take a month
take
of this.
Take it easy.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't get to kill your back for a month. You know, there you go. Also wanted to mention, shout out our great friends over at Family Natural Foods and 910 West Grand Avenue, right here in Rapids. Coming up tomorrow, they've got one of their presentations going on, their free wellness Ooh. Presentations.
Very cool.
Spring cleaning and low waste. It kicks off at 5:15. Come with questions and learn from Rubina of Process. Learn how to buying bulk cleaning products can clean better, more naturally, cheaper, and with less waste.
Ooh, that's cool.
They got more great presentations coming up. Be on the lookout for those. We'll, again, remind you about this tomorrow. tomorrow. Again, a free wellness presentation, spring cleaning and low waste, 5:15 tomorrow over at Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue, right here in Rapids.
Yes, indeed.
And awesome. Renaissance by Renee's, the Wisconsin Rep in Wisconsin Rapids, is pleased to announce a special event featuring Wisconsin author Mike O'Connor, who will be present too with his book Badger Aces. He'll be there this Thursday at 10 a.m. over at 1500 Pepper Avenue, right here in Rapids. For those that don't know, Badger Aces highlights the remarkable stories of Wisconsin World War II fighter pilots who earned the prestigious title of Ace. This is a great book, everybody. Check out the book and then bring it on over and have Michael take a look at it with you. Light refreshments will be served. Admission is free.
You learn
and
also...
It's Renaissance by Rennes.
Yes.
And I only know that because I was over there for the Quilts of Valor ceremony.
Right.
And I had to ask, like, how do you say this?
Right.
I heard it in my voice as soon as I said it. I'm like, oh, God.
You can learn more about the greatest Wisconsin World War II flyer, the Ace of Aces, Mr. Richard Ira Bong. And the reason I know that is he's come up Superior Way. That's where he's from. So
because there's the bridge is dedicated.
The Bong Bridge there. There's the Richard Ira Bong Center, which is a very cool museum. Yeah. If you ever get a chance to go up to Superior, go there. It's really neat.
I wanted to touch on something we're doing really cool here at the studio.
Yeah, Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue. We're teaming up with them to get a bunch of items that they're in need of right now, everybody. Blankets and towels, dog and cat food, treats, toys, kennels and crates, garden hoses, cleaning supplies, any other kind of pet thing that you don't need anymore, we will take it. You can drop them off right here at our studio, 1690 2nd Avenue South, during our regular business hours, 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. You can also drop them off at From the Ground Up Coffee House at 250 West Grand Avenue, or the aforementioned Family Natural Foods, 410 West Grand Avenue. You can drop them off all there. We've extended this until the end of May, everyone. Oh, so nice. You've got a lot more opportunities to bring in. And thank you to everyone who has participated so far and given us a lot of great stuff. Keep it coming. We want to get as much as we can.
Yeah. Last week, staff at an aviation service company in California paused work when they heard the sound of meowing. It was coming from an excavator parking roughly 20 feet from their offices. There were four 2-week-old kittens inside, and after a 30-minute rescue effort, they were all safely recovered and are in process of finding homes right now.
Oh, wow.
Does anybody else hear that? Does anybody else hear that meowing? You know there was somebody in there. There was somebody in the staff that was like, no, I don't hear anything. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? Meowing? What's wrong with you?
A 12-year-old boy in New Zealand created an AI pill bot to stop his grandmother from taking the wrong medication due to her poor eyesight.
Oh, now, this is a good use of AI.
Yeah.
The boy was asked if we should fear AI. He said no, but joked, if AI does take over the world, I hope this project helps them realize I'm on their side.
Oh, no.
Friend, not foe.
I know that was a joke by him. There are people actually believe that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the sad part. Anyway, but this is a good story. I like that.
But there's also the fact that if you say please and thank you to ChatGPT, you're wasting money.
Oh, that's so good. She's back. A high school baseball team in Arizona was about to take the field when everyone heard a loud bang and then saw smoke coming. There was a fire nearby, and some of the players left to rush over and help fight it with hoses.
Nice. Oh, wow. Good job, guys.
The fire was on a woman's property, and she didn't realize it at first. She was working from home and was wearing headphones. Thanks to their quick thinking and the help of the first responders, the fire was put out, and the house was saved.
Good for you.
Oh, that's great.
And I only hope that the umpire went over there and was safe right after. No, that's bad. I apologize.
We need to end the show, James.
Really?
Let's end the show.
Yeah. Probably should have ended my show a long time ago. Probably should have stopped me being here.
It's good to hear you guys again.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Again, spread the word about these new hours and some of the shifting that's been going on around here. We appreciate you guys are our best advertisers. You're our best billboards, our best commercials out there. We appreciate each one of you and appreciate you too. Great show today.
You too, man.
You too.
Be good to each other out there, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.